You are listening to RainierAvenueRadio.World. Here at the Thunderbolt, I tend to cover a lot of controversial topics from controversial points of view. And therefore, some of the other folks that work with Rainier Avenue Radio always appreciate it when I point out that while they may agree with the views expressed on this program, they also very well may not. And in either case, they are in no way responsible for that content. Therefore, if my show makes you want to start hurling blunt objects at people, then make sure you choose the correct target, which in this case would be me, not them. And so now, on with the show! Guess, kids, there you were, enjoying your privileged white status, blissfully ignorant of the fact that your shoes were manufactured by a child slave, until one day, you turned on your radio, and you were struck by the Thunderbolt! Hello, Cascadia! It's time to wake up! Yes, you better grab that cup of coffee, because you are about to be struck by the thunderbolt of truth and justice. Here it comes. Yes, kids, the thunderbolt is your guide to activism in Thurston County. I have news. I have commentary, I have a calendar for activist-related events, kick-ass music, and dumb jokes! So Cascadia is off of the couch and into the streets! It's time to save civilization from fiery apocalypse! Though even the apocalypse is gonna have to wait until I have had a cup of coffee! Yes, and welcome to the Thunderbolt for October 23rd, 2020. Anyway, this is a replay of a show that originally aired back in July of 2017, and I chose this show because the feature story was about CRISPR technology, and CRISPR technology is once again in the news since the inventors of the process just won Nobel Prizes. First, though, we've got a few other topics to discuss.
The distinguished members of the subcommittee for the opportunity to testify today regarding one of the largest abuses ever of the United States banking system.
Simply by the act of spending American money, you are helping to directly finance a whole bunch of the most heinous crimes in human history. Yes, you cannot operate in this society without making bargains with the devil. And the question is always, how much are you willing to concede? This is also in the context of the fact that the level of, quote, success that you achieve in our society is directly proportional to how much of your humanity you are willing to sell to that devil. So I am now entertaining the theory that most humans that do evil things are not evil by nature, but that they are instead good-natured people who have been forced to adapt to their environment as best they could. If
this theory is valid, then that means that the people are not the problem around here. It is the environment that they're being forced to adapt to. And it seems to me, anyway, that humanity may now be standing between two major epochs in our evolution. And I believe the effects to what we're doing now will be similar in scale to those that happened when we adopted agriculture and to those that happened as a result of the Industrial Revolution. And where our next epoch will take us is the question. And the answer to that question is that it is up to us. There is good news. There are now more clean energy jobs in the state of California than there are coal mining jobs in the entire United States. In addition, computer technology is about to make a quantum leap. Literally. And soon, we will be able to eliminate most diseases in general, and genetically inherited diseases in particular. In addition, we will soon be able to largely arrest, if not actually reverse, the human aging process. But the bad news is that this is likely all moot, as it would seem that, barring unforeseen circumstances, our entire civilization is about to experience a catastrophic collapse. Yes? Where our next epoch will take us is indeed the question. The answer is, indeed, that is up to us. Writer of both fiction and non-fiction, I can tell you that one big difference between fiction and reality is that fiction must be believable. Were I to create a fictional hero named Reality Winner, I would probably be seriously criticized for making up such an unlikely name, especially in such a context. But reality does not suffer the restriction of maintaining believability, and reality is indeed a reality. Reality Winner is, in fact, the latest whistleblower hero to be persecuted for telling us the truth about our government. Meanwhile, here at home, the rump has just revealed that when he signed the authorization for the Dakota Access Pipeline, that, quote, I just closed my eyes and signed it. This guy has a true genius for making inadvertent metaphorical statements that are actually true, though in ways I am sure were unintended. There is one comfort that can be taken from the knowledge that our president makes major policy decisions by closing his eyes. If he ever launches a nuclear attack, at least we can take comfort from the knowledge that he will probably have his eyes closed when he does it. Yes, I believe we can safely say that this is a case of eyes wide shut. Meanwhile, on the world stage, I stumbled over an interesting little dynamic that is happening in Turkey U.S. relations. Last year, there was a failed coup attempt against the Turkish Prime Minister Recep Tayyip Erdogan.
There's a man who leads a life of danger. To everyone he meets, he stays a stranger. With every move he makes, another chance he takes. Odds are he won't live to see tomorrow. Secret agent man, secret agent man. They've given you a number and taken away your name. Faces that you find.
Mr. Erdogan charged Fethullah Gulen.
Face can hide an evil mind.
A Turkish expatriate who's living in Pennsylvania.
You give yourself away. Odds are you won't live to see tomorrow. Secret Asian man. Secret Asian man.
I assumed that Mr. Gulen was some activist who had left Turkey to escape persecution, and that he was being used as a scapegoat to cover up for Mr. Erdogan's own shortcomings, because that is how such things are usually played out. But I hadn't given it a high enough priority to ever really look into it.
Secret Asian man, secret Asian man. They've given you a number and taken away your name.
The one thing that I did think about it,
swinging on the Riviera one day,
was that Mr. Gulen should probably watch his back.
In the Bombay Alley next,
lest our loving government sell his ass
onward slip
to Erdogan,
kissing persuasive lips
in return for some underhanded political consideration.
Secret Asian man, secret.
However, I just learned something very interesting.
And digging away your name.
It It turns out that Fethullah Gulen is a longtime CIA asset. And if American reporters know this,
agent man,
then I'm pretty sure that Mr. Erdogan knows this as well. This being the case, then Mr. Erdogan may indeed have a case about Mr. Gulen's involvement in the coup attempt. And the fact that Mr. Erdogan is placing serious pressure to have Mr. Gulen return to Turkey is thus rather like him repeatedly poking both the CIA and the deep state people in the eye. Recep Erdogan, better watch out, or the United States might bring some democracy to his country sometime soon. Our president and our recently fired FBI director are calling each other liars. On this one thing at least, they are both telling the truth. The hyper-partisan atmosphere and the enemy of my enemy is my friend mentality is now making idiot child liberals extol the virtues of James Comey and the FBI. So James Comey was an assistant director at the FBI for the entire Bush-Obama era, and James Comey never said a word about the massive and outrageous attack on the very foundations of our democracy that the intelligence agencies and the FBI have been conducting upon all of us during that entire era. Make no mistake, James Comey is a tried and true, dyed-in-the-wool fascist. Jeremy Corbyn and Bernie Sanders also provide an interesting phenomena. The corporate media viciously attacks them both, yet both keep almost winning elections. In spite of that, the machine tells us that people like Mr. Corbyn and Mr. Sanders are pie-in-the-sky dreamers, and that we need to continue letting the adults actually run everything. Are they really trying to say that we need to keep these same adults running our world because what? They've been doing such a bang-up job of it so far.
Somebody help me!
Shut up!
Anti-war activists are usually very careful to repeatedly state that they have nothing against military personnel or against military veterans. Even problematic such people are often given the benefit of the doubt due to the assumption that the machine has broken them and therefore their problematic aspects are not even their own faults. The police are also given great deference by the general public, but often not so much by activists.
Black hair. Dangerous.
Evidently, there is a progressive activist that is about to become the district attorney for the city of Philadelphia.
Hold your breath, I'm coming in.
He is promising
I hear your lungs, they're drowning.
To clamp down on police violence against citizens.
I feel your heart, your blood.
the Philadelphia Police are famously one of the most violent and corrupt police forces in the country. And that is truly saying something.
He was the man, the man around town. Sunset, dialectical clown. I say, whatever he did, he definitely was a dialectical kid.
According to the DOJ,
living in the street, he was fast, dialectical beat. Could he last? Night is the day, and day is the night. Whenever they got to, it was out of sight.
The Philadelphia Police shoot unarmed citizens at 6 times the rate the New York police do. And in a city where both whites and blacks constitute around 45% of the population each, almost all of these police shootings are white officers shooting black people.
I say, he definitely was a dialectical kid.
I hope the new district attorney thinks about taking on the Philadelphia Police a lot. And I hope he thinks about taking on the Philadelphia Police in a strategic manner. I would suggest that he does not want to court open hostility from the rank and file police officers. The main problem with problematic police is usually a problematic police culture. And that is not a shift that you can turn on a dime. That is something you simply need to change. And changing cultures is not an easy thing to do. Philadelphia's new district attorney will need cooperation from a significant number of those rank-and-file police officers, in fact. And another thing you need to know about all this, the bad apple theory concerning problematic police officers is actually true. Usually, around 4 to 5% of police officers on any given large city police force.
One, two, three, go!
Are responsible for around 40 to 50% of all the police abuse complaints. On the other hand, though, all of the other officers know who these bad apples are, yet they still unconditionally have their backs no matter what they do. This blue wall of silence immediately collapses, though, when actual investigations and actual indictments start flying around. It is such a rare occurrence that most people are unfamiliar with even the concept. But when the feces hits the threshing machine, the cops often prove even more willing to, quote, cooperate with law enforcement than regular civilian criminal defendants are. In addition, I theorize that a large number of the good cops are actually disgusted and or alarmed by their violent brethren. And I would theorize many of them would actually love to see a little police reform happen.
To keep you back in time, I try to imagine. See the terror behind the street back.
just don't feel personally empowered enough to start openly advocating it because they feel trapped by that police culture that I just mentioned. Well, I sort of defy political classification myself. I am probably closer to an anarchist than anything else. Yet I very famously do not get along very well with most other people who label themselves as anarchists. One difference is that I think we need to evolve into anarchism, whereas the Black Flag kids seem to think that it can be imposed. Another difference is that they want to militantly confront the police, whereas I think we need to win them over to our side. While I can support someone else that does a little strategic property damage here and there, I think that physically fighting with the police or even yelling at them or calling them names is pointless and counterproductive. We need to fight smart, kids.
It's time for a quick station break. The Thunderbolt will be back in just a moment.